All right, this is the audio for French Revolution Basics. This is the L1 version. If you have the ER version or the standard version, head back to the website and grab those instead. Okay, so starting up. The revolution is very complicated. In general, one can divide the revolution into four phases. Phase one is called the bourgeois revolution. The middle class rises up, they overthrow the nobility, and they try to create a constitutional democratic monarchy that values trade and business, creates substantial but moderate reforms. Phase two is the radical revolution. The former allies of the bourgeoisie, mostly urban poor, who are much more radical in their ideas, hijack the revolution and attempt to bring about extreme reforms. Phase three is the moderate reaction. The bourgeoisie recapture power and roll back the most extreme reforms. The government does not work, is corrupt, and is not well liked. And then finally, Napoleon, France's most successful general, ends the revolution and builds an autocratic empire that is based partly on the ideas of the original revolutionaries. France fights and conquers most of Europe before being defeated. All right, so fill out that section now. On to the next part, the three estates. So, before the revolution, France was divided into three estates, which were basically social classes. The first estate were priests, the second estate were nobles, and they followed different laws, and they didn't have to pay taxes. The other 90% belonged to the third estate. There was a split between the middle class, bourgeoisie, urban poor, and peasants. These people had little wealth, and yet had to pay for almost all the taxes the government collected. They also had to pay taxes to the priests and to the nobles. So fill out that section. On to economic crisis. So the Ancien Régime was a bad government. The king could only really tax the third estate, who didn't have all that much money. The government also had a major debt issue. France supported America in the American Revolution. However, the war cost so much money that France struggled to pay back the loans it had taken out to fight the war. Adding to the problems, farming was an issue. France's population had been growing recently, and its inefficient farming system struggled to produce enough food. The result was starving peasants who hated the nobles who further taxed them. So fill out that section again, and then we are moving on to phase one, the bourgeois revolution. Okay, so this starts with the Estates General in 1789. The king wanted to change the government, but did not have the power to do it. To help gather power, he called a huge meeting called the Estates General. In the Estates General, each estate had equal representation, 300 delegates. However, the third estate thought that they should have more representation, because 97% of France was in the third estate. However, the king kept the old system, giving the third estate the same voting power as the priests, even though there were 25 million people in the third estate and only 150,000 in the priests. All right, fill out that section. The next is the tennis court oath. So the Third Estate felt cheated and refused to meet in the Estates General. They created their own council that they called the National Assembly, and they decided to create a constitution for France. The king did not like this and locked them out of their own meeting chamber. The Third Estate delegates then met in an indoor tennis court, and they decided to continue making the constitution. They swore an oath later known as the Tennis Court Oath, a promise to never break up until France had a constitution. All right, fill out that section. Moving on to the next, the storming of the Bastille. When word came to the people of France that the delegates of the Third Estate had taken power into their own hands, the people celebrated. But rumors began to circulate that the king planned to end the assembly by force if necessary. The people of Paris feared that war was coming and wanted to arm themselves and show the king that he no longer had the power to fight the will of the people. There was an old castle in Paris called the Bastille, which was now used as a prison where the king's political prisoners were held, tortured, and sometimes killed. The castle was stormed, some of the king's soldiers killed, and a few people freed. No weapons were found, but it sent a message to the king. He was no longer in control. Many date this attack as the beginning of the revolution. The Women's March, 1789. The real turning point is actually the Women's March. An army of peasant women attacked the king's palace just outside of Paris. They took the king from his palace and brought him to Paris, a castle in the city called the Tuileries. Here he would rule France, but here he would also be a hostage if need be. From here on, the king realized he could not directly fight the revolution and would typically surrender to its demands. All right. Next section is 1789 to 1791. So the Third Estate took control and created a new government called the National Constituent Assembly. The king went along with it because he was a hostage. And the assembly here was moderate. Most of the delegates of the Third Estate had been bourgeoisie, who had money and mostly just wanted rights, fair laws, and a more modern economic system. And it was extremely successful for a while. The most memorable acts of the revolution came from this period. One, the last remnant of feudalism was abolished in the first few months. Two, a universal code of rights known as the Declaration of the Rights of Man and Citizen was created. And finally, the French Constitution was written and signed in 1791, some 2 years after the beginning of the revolution. The king eventually signed the Constitution, and the revolutionary government became a working government, a constitutional monarchy. Alright, so finish up that stuff, and we'll look at the next section. The Legislative Assembly, 1791 to 1792. So a new government came into power in 1791 called the Legislative Assembly. It was almost entirely made up of middle-class bourgeoisie. There was still a king, but he had almost no power. The assembly did not do well. France's economy still struggled. Number one, its debt was still a problem. Number two, the French currency lost a lot of its value. Three, peasants were still struggling to get food. Then the king tried to flee in 1791 to join France's enemies. Many of the more radical people in France wanted to see him executed for treason. France was now at war with both Austria and Prussia, and France was not doing well in those wars either. And then there were political issues, too. The poor and radical still wanted more changes. They wanted cheaper food prices, more limits on priests, and they wanted death to the king. All right, this leads us to phase two, the Radical Revolution. So the Radical Revolution begins with the National Convention, 1792 to 1795. In 1792, the bourgeoisie lost control of the radicals. Radicals attacked the palace where the king was held and took him prisoner. The radicals also took control of the government by scaring away all the moderates. They created a new government known as the National Convention. The Reign of Terror, 1793 to 1794. This new radical government was not nice to its enemies. Those who fought against it died. Those who even spoke out against it died. And the symbol of this new revolutionary government would be the guillotine, a device used to behead people. The king would be one of the first to meet it. He was executed in 1793, but many more would be executed. Eventually, a group called the Committee of Public Safety takes over. This is a small council given total power over France, and they make it their mission to end all disloyalty to the revolution. Over 13 months, 16,000 people are executed by the government, mostly on suspicion of being anti-revolutionary. All right, radical reforms. So the National Convention was very radical, and it killed a lot of people, but it was also quite successful. It passed a law called the Price Maximum, which forced people to sell things at low price. This finally ended the starvation amongst the poor. It passed another law called the Levée en Masse, which called up all young men to fight in the army. Their new, huge army easily crushed France's enemies. This government also abolished slavery, gave women rights, and allowed every man to vote. The people who ran this government truly believed they were creating a better world. For this reason, many people look up to this government as the best part of the revolution, despite how many people it executed. Phase 3, the bourgeois reaction. Alright, So it starts with a Thermidorian reaction in 1794. By July 1794, people had had enough. So many people had been killed by this government, and so many were afraid of the government, that they again revolted. The so-called Thermidorian reaction was when the people finally rose up against the Committee of Public Safety and killed them. The radicals were banned, and the bourgeois took over once more. This leads to the Directory. So the Directory of 1795 to 1799. The bourgeoisie created a government called the Directory. It canceled many of the laws the bourgeoisie had hated. The price maximum was ended. Slavery was introduced in many of the colonies. But the Directory was not a success. The economy crashed again, the government was corrupt, and further revolts happened quite frequently. The Directory's answer to both was the army. Again and again and again, the army stepped in to save the government. Which leads to Phase 4, Napoleon. Napoleon's rise, 1799 to 1804. So France's greatest soldier was named Napoleon Bonaparte. In 1799, Napoleon led a revolt against the government and replaced the Directory with a military government under Napoleon's control. Napoleon's government. Napoleon believed in many of the ideas of the Revolution, but he also believed in order, so he began to recreate France. His most important work was the Code Napoleon, which was a complete rewriting of the French legal system. The Code focused on two things. One, that the same laws should apply to everyone, and number two, that laws should be written so that they make sense to the common people. The Code Napoleon also recognized many of the ideals of the Revolution. It gave people the right to a fair trial, no secret laws, equality before the law, and natural rights. But it was also fairly conservative. It removed the rights women had gained during the Revolution, making them servants to their fathers or their husbands, and it also made slavery legal again. All right, so then we have the Wars of the Coalition. France was now too strong for any one country to defeat it, so the countries of Europe joined together in coalitions to try and defeat it. In all, there were 7 coalitions. After the Levée en Masse in 1793, France consistently won these wars. Once Napoleon took control, these wars were even more successful, and France began to conquer. In 1806, most of Western and Central Europe was under France's control. The Code Napoleon was put into effect throughout Europe. Fair trials, natural rights, and constitutions were forced upon many of Europe's governments. But countries also copied the bad stuff. The Levée en Masse was adopted by most European countries, and their armies began to grow in size as well. In 1812, Napoleon made his worst ever blunder. He invaded Russia in the winter. His army froze and starved, and only 10,000 of them returned out of the 350,000 he brought. Now the rest of Europe saw their chance to defeat Napoleon. The countries he had conquered rose up again and defeated him in the War of the Sixth Coalition. And that is the end of the Revolution. Let's talk after the Revolution. So, monarchy restored. In 1815, France again had a monarchy, and the nobles returned to a position of extreme wealth. In these ways, the Revolution failed. But there were also successes. The large inequalities that inspired the Revolution never truly returned, and feudal privileges of the nobles remained dead. Napoleon's law code stayed, giving people some rights, even though they would have preferred more. And that is the end. Thanks for bearing along with me.